Gracious Father, as we come and unpack the beauty and glory of your word this morning, Father, I pray that you would give us a true sensitivity to the working and moving of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Come and speak. I pray that you would give us the grace to respond. We come to give you glory and thanks for this life-giving word. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Well, it was an ordinary Thursday evening in downtown Little Rock. Restaurants were filled, bars were filled with people talking and having fun and sharing stories and laughing. You could hear the music coming out of those places as you walked along President Clinton Avenue on the riverfront. But everything changed when I walked in the doors of Nexus Coffee and Creative. Everything that had been ordinary that night became extraordinary. All in was the theme that ran through the evening as various people got up and shared stories, short stories of experience they had had mentoring youth who had aged out of foster care, a story of what it was like to foster a teenage boy or girl, or to be a part of a family who does, a story of what it's like to adopt a teenager into your home with kids that you also have, a story of a young woman caring for a newborn baby that the parents could not take care of, who was at the hospital every day for weeks of her life, and then to only watch her die in her arms. You see, it was Best of Pie, an event put on by Immerse Arkansas. And these stories came from ordinary people, most of whom I didn't know, although Levi Jones is here, who shared one of them, most of whom you all would not know if I mentioned their names, but they were stories of people who were all in. They were all in, working with Jesus to see that the broken places of Little Rock and the broken lives of Little Rock would be renewed and restored. It was a picture, if you will, of light shining in to dark places around this city and bringing hope. There were stories of lives who were committed for the pursuit of justice, people making a difference. Friends, one thing that we all share in this room, and I know it's true of all of us, is we all long that our lives make a difference. Every one of us in this room longs that our lives this side of heaven have impact, that there's something good that we're doing with our lives, that they will have deep meaning. And I know that because I talk to people weekly who are wrestling with questions like this: is my life really having an impact? What's my role? What's my calling? Why am I here? There's got to be more than this. You see, not everybody in this room is going to be called to foster or adopt a child or to walk alongside a teen who has aged out of foster care. Some of you are, some will, many won't. But I know the reality is this: we all long that we are doing something in our lives that are making a difference, that our lives are actually purposeful this side of heaven. And you see, what we find in Scripture is this: that when we live for something greater than ourselves, not only do we come alive, but so do the people around us. I want to say that again because it's so important. What we find in Scripture is that when we give our lives to something bigger than ourselves, not only do we find ourselves coming alive, but we also see those around us coming alive. This morning, we're finishing our journey through the book of Proverbs. We haven't gotten to obviously hit every one this summer, but we've hit themes. And the theme of this last one is justice. What does it look like to live lives of justice in the community in which we live? What does it look like to live lives of justice in our families? And so this morning, that's what we're going to look at. Two points I've got for you. The first is this: that every one of us needs a clear understanding of our calling. We all need a clear understanding of what is my calling as I follow Jesus. And then secondly, we're going to look at this. We're going to answer this question: how will Little Rock flourish? as we live out our calling? How will this city flourish as we live out our calling? First, we need to understand what our calling is. And really, to understand our calling, we've got to step back for just a minute and look at what is our identity. Who are we? Listen again to Proverbs 11, verses 10 and 11. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there are shouts of gladness. By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is overthrown. I want to focus on the first phrase in verse 10. Others translate it like this: when the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. Isn't that good? When the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. Well, it begs the question, doesn't it? Who are the righteous? Who are the righteous? Let me tell you who the righteous are. The righteous are those who've yielded their lives to God. The righteous are those who have received Christ as Savior. Here's how the Apostle Paul put it in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He wrote, "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become," what? "The righteousness of God." Now, I want you to think about that. This is foundational for us. For our sake, for you and me, God brought his Son. God entered this world to do what? To take on your sin, to take on mine, to take on our shame and our guilt. He took that upon himself on the cross. And do you know what he did in exchange when he died? He gave us all that was his. He took our mess and he gave us his perfect, spotless righteousness. Is that incredible? That's the gift. And through that, we begin to realize who we are. We, as followers of Jesus, are people who are now covered in the blood of Christ. We stand in his righteousness. We are, as I love that David put it in Psalm 51, we are whiter than snow. We are whiter than snow. You see, friends, the more we know who we are, the more we can understand our calling. When I know who I am in Christ, when I know what he's given me, I don't have to go try and work my life to build an identity for myself. I don't have to do things to get you to love me or to do things to show my worth. I already have it fully. Clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. You see, when we know who we are, we begin to understand our calling. Think about it like this. We prosper. We thrive. We come alive, not just when we know who we are in Christ, but when we pattern our lives after the life of Jesus. You see, he says, "Come and follow me." And he calls us as his followers to pattern our lives, that we would be shaped and formed more and more into his likeness, into his image. And do you know what he did? Jesus came to disadvantage himself for the advantage of those around him. I want you to think about that. He disadvantaged himself for the advantage, for the benefit of those around him. This is how he lived. When you read through the Gospels, he knew his identity. He was the Son of the living God. He didn't have anything to prove. And so he lived out his calling, doing the Father's will. And we see ultimately that he gave fully of himself for you and me, that you and I could be people that would benefit from what he did for us on the cross. You see, in Christ, we become free to give what we have so that others would thrive. We become free to give what is ours so that others could flourish. I know as I say this, how it may land on some of you, this is so countercultural. You're not going to hear this message many places, but it's not counter-gospel. It's exactly what we find in the gospel. It's exactly what we find throughout the entirety of God's glorious word. You see, you and I were created to rest in and to reveal the presence of God in this world. That's what we were created for. But what the fall corrupted, what Adam and Eve, when they pulled that fruit off that tree and turned from God, and how that impacted every single human being afterwards, what the fall destroyed and corrupted, people living for ourselves, people living to try to build an identity because we don't know that we have one, what the fall did, Jesus came to redeem. And friend, here's the good news. As followers of Jesus, now we get to finally live out of who we were created to be. We get to finally do what we were created to do. And you know what that is? It's revealing the goodness and the grace and the love of Christ to the world around us. The Apostle Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:20. He said, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us." You want to know what your calling is? It's that you are an ambassador for Christ, God making his appeal through you. That where you go, so goes Jesus. That he would shine through your life and mine. You see, when we receive him, when we receive Christ into our lives, we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and our lives are changed in so many ways. One way being that we are no longer spectators, but participants. You see, we come into this world on the sideline watching the game play. But when we receive Christ as Savior, we enter the game as participants. We actually find that our calling is to work with God in bringing restoration, hope, life into the dark places of this world. Ross Hastings, in his book, Missional Church, Missional God, put it this way. He said, "We work with God in the church to build up the body of Christ, and then we have the scattered church, and we carry the gospel, we carry justice, we carry shalom into the world, participating with God in his work in the world." Do you see that? We come to be equipped in here. And we go out into the world to carry the gospel, to carry the peace and life of Jesus, working with God as he is restoring and renewing the broken places of the city. As he's renewing and restoring the broken places of your family. We get to work with God in that. Now, you want to talk about having a purpose in life? That we actually get to get in on what God is doing, breaking through the suffering and the pain and being agents of his grace, agents of hope, agents of life. Friends, when we begin to understand that calling, we begin to wake up on Monday differently, don't we? Because we see we've got a greater purpose. You know, when I graduated from college, I went to this rather large church in Houston, because that's where all the singles were, and I'm glad I went because that's where I found Kimberly. But in this singles group, there was talk, there was chatter about this one thing that was a talk for years and years, and it was people saying, "We've got to find out what God's will for our life is, or for our lives are." You know, it was the kind of thing, "What is God's will for your life?" And it's we all of a sudden we found ourselves going, "Okay, am I in the right job? Is this God's will for me, or is this God's will for me?" You know, and we spent all these years trying to find out, "God, what is your will?" And it wasn't until many years later that I realized that was so the wrong question. It wasn't asking God, "What is your will for my life?" But it was more, "God, it's right before me. I'm in it. I'm actually doing it as I go. Where I live, where I work, where I play, as I go, so goes Christ. And I'm actually doing this work that you're calling me to do." Whatever it was in my vocation, it was actually partnering with God where I was to bring hope, to bring life, to bring peace, to do things differently. The prophet Micah in the Old Testament put it this way in Micah 6:8. He writes, "From the Lord, has he told you, O man, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." If you want to know what your calling is, It is to do this. It is to live lives where we are doing justice, where we are loving kindness, where we are walking humbly with our God. Another way to put it is that you and I are actually living gospel-shaped lives, where as we go, so goes the gospel. As we go, so goes the peace of Christ. As we go, so goes hope and love in His grace. You see, the calling on us is that we would live, as we follow Jesus, that we would live for the benefit of those around us. Now, how challenging is that? Because I know so many of us live our lives to benefit ourselves, to build our kingdom. That's the struggle, honestly, that I face every single day. And I've got to come back to this gospel truth to reorient my thoughts and my mind around what is really life-giving. And it is so life-giving when I remember my calling is to live for the benefit of others. Do you know why? Because I have already received everything I could ever imagine and more. And that is the love of a Father in heaven. You see, that we would live for the goodness of those because we have been blessed with His goodness. And so the question is for us as followers of Jesus, for those of you who follow Christ, the question is, are you all in? Will you come and be all in? You see, this is the calling of all of us. And what we saw in that passage in Proverbs 11, verse 10, when we prosper, when we're living out of our calling, guess what happens? The city rejoices. The city thrives. The city's renewed. And so here's the second point. I want to ask the question, how will Little Rock flourish through you and me? How will this city flourish through us? First, we see this. Little Rock will flourish when we see that all people are made in the image of God. Let me read what we find in the very beginning of Scripture in Genesis 1:27. We read, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female, He created them." It's pretty clear that every human being is created in the image of God. And do you know what that means? That means that every human life is sacred. That means that every human life, every person has dignity and value. And can I say, sadly, so many people outside the church see Christians judging people who are different, condemning them, maligning them, pulling away from them. And what so many in the culture see is, we're not loving. We're not loving people who are made in the image of God. We're pulling away. Friends, I believe the Lord grieves when you and I see people who are different from us. They may look different. They may believe different. They may be in a different socioeconomic class. When we judge them in our mind, when we pull away from them and we hold on to our own little holy huddle. You see, friends, here's the point. Jesus came to make us different, not better than anyone else. And I think one of the reasons why you will see so many empty chairs in a church like this or others around this city is because we come across as better. And so we pull away from the people around us. We are not better. We are different. You know why? We're different in the way we live our lives. We're different in the way we live and love sacrificially. That's how we're different. We're different because we use our gifts and our financial resources not to build up our own kingdoms, but we use them for God's kingdom. We use them to bless those around us who do not have. We're different because we're not out for personal gain. And I said this in the first service, and I'm going to say it in here as I look at you all. I believe that St. Andrew's is rich in this. This church, as we have been here for 7 years, I see so much of this. I see so much beauty. I see people getting out and actually caring for this city. And there's large events that we do as a church family together, like Western Hills Elementary. And I saw a couple of Saturdays ago, 150 of you there, loving these kids from the neighborhood just across from us, helping them get ready for school, seeing teachers' faces light up because people actually cared about them and were for them, and that we actually had people that were mentoring those youth during the week by helping them read. Friends, there are all kinds of stories that I hear about ways in which people in St. Andrews are making a difference in this city. But we need to continue to be challenged. How are we viewing people that are different from us? How are we responding to them? Are we drawing near? Or are we putting a barrier up? You know the story. You know the story of God who brought his son into this world, and he just hung around people just like himself the whole time. Yeah, good. I'm glad some of you know the story. That's not how it happened. It's about God sending his son to be around the broken, the needy, the sick, the lame, the prostitute, the tax collector who was a thief. That's who Jesus was around. He came around all kinds of people who were different from him. And do you know what he did? He poured life into them. He spoke life into them. He lifted them up, knowing that he would ultimately be lifted up on the cross for us. Thursday night, Eric Gilmore, who leads Immerse Arkansas, shared a quote that he had read from a book, and I loved it. And here's what he said. The quote went like this: "Treat people as if they were what they ought to be, and you will help them become what they are capable of being." Let me say that again. Treat people as if they were what they ought to be, and you will help them become what they are capable of being. It matters how we treat one another. It matters how we see one another. I might reframe that or rephrase it and say this: treat people who are made in the image of God with dignity and respect, and you will see a life changed. Treat people with dignity and respect who are different from you, and you will begin to see a city in need coming together and becoming whole. Friends, if we are committed to this at St. Andrews, I can only imagine that we're going to begin to hear this city sing. The city's going to be known for something different. It's going to be a city that's coming to life because we care for the people in the city. The second thing I want us to see is that Little Rock will flourish when we become an advocate to those who have no advocate. Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9. "Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy." Do you know that there are so many crying out every day around us, but they have no voice because we don't hear them? There are needs of people everywhere. Do you know what we're called to do? We're called to be an advocate for them. Do you know why? Because Jesus came to be our advocate. He came to be our advocate to the Father. And as we walk, as we follow him, we come and get the privilege to be an advocate for those who have none, that we can speak on their behalf, that we can help them in their need, in their pain, begin to thrive. So a question I'll throw out to you this morning is this: who might God be calling you to be an advocate for? Maybe write that one down. Think about it. Who might God be calling you to be an advocate for? And the third thing that we see that I think if we begin to do, we'll see this city flourish is this. This city will flourish when we open our eyes to the needs of those around us, and we begin to pray for the welfare of our city. You ever think about praying for the city? We do here on Sunday mornings, but what about during the week? The prophet Jeremiah gave a message to the Israelites who were held in captivity in Babylon. And God was speaking through Jeremiah, and he said, "I want you to give this word. I want you to proclaim this word to my people." And so I want you to hear this morning as from the Lord, this verse, Jeremiah 29:7, as God declaring it among us this morning. Here's what he says: "But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare." What would happen if you and I began not just to pray, but to respond and act for the peace of this city, for the security of those who do not have it, working acts of justice for those who are being marginalized in our midst, not just loving our neighbor in word, but also in deed, regardless of what they look like, regardless of what they believe, that we would seek for the betterment of this community around us. Now, I'm going to wrap this up and give you a little bit of application. This message this morning is not about putting something more on you that makes you more already overwhelmed than you are. That's not what this is about. It's also not just about going and doing a good deed. Do you know what this is about? This is about bringing the very presence of Jesus where we live, work, and play. The very presence of Jesus. You know, in just a few moments, we're going to gather around this table. And you all are going to come forward, and we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And in this meal, in this bread, in this wine, what we experience in this, it's not just remembering what Jesus did for us on the cross. Friends, we are actually communing with him. God is doing a supernatural work in us. He is with us in this. And he strengthens us and meets us in this time. We're reminded that we're forgiven. We're reminded that we are covered in his grace. We're reminded that as we go, so goes Jesus. What if we took that when we go out these doors this afternoon? What if we took that reality when we woke up and went into work or on the playground on Monday or whatever you go and do? The reality that where we go, we bring the very presence of Jesus. That the way we do our work would be done with integrity and honesty. That the way that we build up the people that are serving and working around us would actually be life-giving to them instead of draining. That we would care for the success of those around us more than our own. Do you know what that does, living that way? It helps create a better city to live in. But not only that, it helps create a city where Jesus is Lord and Jesus is King, where he reigns and is breaking in to restore. Friends, it's not necessarily doing something grand, although God may call you to do something like that. But it's saying, God, show me where that is for me. I think about Kimberly and her shop, Live Thankfully, and I think about the ladies who come and volunteer a couple of hours a week. They're bringing goodness into this city by doing that. By the way that as they care in that shop and for people who come in, they're actually showing the love and peace of Christ and bringing renewal. Sometimes we think something like that just doesn't really matter, but can I tell you it does? The way you love your kids is creating a city that's better than it was yesterday. Do you see that? And so I believe for us today to respond to this, it's coming to the Lord in prayer and saying, God, show me what you want me to see. Open my eyes to the needs of those around me. Where are you calling me to get up and enter in so that I can see you taking hold and control of this city by setting it free? Begin praying. If you're not all in, maybe that's the beginning prayer. God, I'm not all in, but I want to be all in. And so begin this work in me. One life matters, friends. One life matters for eternity. And the impact that we can have on the city bringing restoration and renewal will be profound. Now, I'm going to end with this. The Lord just brought this to mind, and I'm going to end it with this very quickly. I was walking out of the first service, someone came up to me and he said, "Thank you for that. Thank you for that call." He said, "But here's the thing. That was just one message that most are going to forget in a week. We need to be reminded over and over that this is our calling." And so he challenged me, and I challenge you. May that be one of your prayers, not just today, but every day. God, show me how you are going before me and longing to use this one life to bring your shalom, to bring your peace, to bring hope and life to a city in need. Amen. Amen.